Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr said no matter who wins the NBA title this season, there will not be an asterisk by it in his mind. He said that whoever wins has to go on a, quote, brutally difficult journey to try and win a title. Shannon, do you agree?
Absolutely. We're already playing 65 games, Skip. And this is going to seeding. That's what you try to do, right? You try to get seeding. Everybody's going through that makes it going to be in the same situation. Nobody's going to have an advantage. Everybody's going to have to buckle down, be mentally focused, mentally sharp, and to do things that no other NBA team has had to do, Skip. And so we're used to, like, the best team. You have home games. Your fans cheering you on. You get down at home. Your crowd can bring you back. Now there's not going to be none of that. So it's for me, Skip, there shouldn't be an asterisk because in 99, I think they played about this game. I think the same thing in LeBron year. They won in 2012. I think it's first title. They end up playing, 50-something games? So, no, Skip, no. The season mattered. The season has been mattering. You say, every time the Lakers win, oh, it's just a meaningless game. And then when they lose, you're like, oh, LeBron has lost it. So, yeah, oh, the season don't start till Christmas. Oh, it don't start till, what's that, All-Star game.
Yeah.
We've been kicking butt since All-Star.
Yeah.
So, oh, no, ain't no asterisk about this here. LeBron James about to get number four. Right here, Skip. Four titles, four MVPs.
Really? How many losses?
It don't even matter.
Doesn't matter.
It ain't going to be no more.
Forget about those.
It's about to be 6-6. We about to be 6-6.
Really?
Yeah, six up, six down.
Really?
Yep.
So that means you're going to win three straight championships?
I don't make no three, but we're going to be playing for a while. We got at least five more years in them.
Really? Are you? Will COVID strike the next 3 years so you get a five-month break
before
the playoffs?
No.
Because you're going to need that as you get into year 18, 19, 20.
Oh, we about to be 5-4. Five MVPs regular season.
Okay.
Four finals MVPs, four chips.
So, unless my hearing is failing me, I just heard from across the table my partner Shannon Sharp say that, hey, if he could play NBA basketball right now, he'd go to the bubble.
Yeah.
Because the bubble is heavenly.
Yeah.
The bubble features fishing, and golfing, and bowling, and video gaming. And you got manicurists and pedicurists and all kinds
all of stuff. I'll be getting right now.
You got the Disney culinary staff. Woo! You got it all. You got every amenity known to man and woman right there at your fingertips, right?
Yeah.
And if it takes 2.5 months, so be it.
So
you're locked in the bubble.
Right.
You can't leave the bubble.
Right.
You're going to get quarantined. You're going to get tested.
I ain't leaving.
No.
I don't want to leave. I'm staying
right there.
Forever.
So, given what you just described to me, now I go back to Steve Kerr's quote, this is going to be a brutally difficult journey to try and win a title.
Yeah.
Brutally difficult?
Yeah.
It's all basketball all the time. You just get to go to Orlando and say, it's like, on an AAU travel team, you're just going to go play basketball. That's all you're going to do.
But Skip, people are not like you and I. I've eaten the same thing for breakfast for 27 years.
Okay.
You eat the same
thing. I do. Exactly the same
thing. Everybody is not routine like you and I. So it's going to be very difficult for them as opposed to you and I. You and I would pass it with flying colors. Ernestine would be great. I would be great. Everybody else is not like you and I. It would drive Jenny crazy.
Okay. But brutally difficult?
Yeah.
Really? Brutally difficult? They're going to play back to back to back? No. They're not going to have any back to backs. No.
They don't play any back-to-backs in the playoffs anyway.
Okay, they used to, but they don't anymore. It used to be really brutally difficult. Because you'd have, in a seven-game series, you might have three back-to-backs.
Yes.
Okay, so this is going to deserve an asterisk, whether you like it or not, because two things have happened. They fell short of playing an 82-game season. I will give you this. It's 71 out of 82,
right.
So it's fairly close.
Well, Kawhi should have an advantage because he's already missed like 13, 14 games. So he's going to miss less. So that's 25 games.
Kawhi is not nearing the end of his 17th season. LeBron James is. LeBron James just got the greatest break of his NBA career. It's almost like the NBA gods looked down and said, LeBron, this is for you, big guy. We're going to give you 5 months off. Think about that. It's going to be 5 months since he played a basketball game. And he'll be in the bubble, refreshed, reinvigorated, everything feeling good. You got to do nothing but train, as you call it.
Yeah, what
and,
is it?
and recover. You got to recover from all the aches and pains and all the pounding it took for you to make what I thought was a successful run at winning MVP this regular season, yeah. which is about to conclude with only 8 more games.
Right.
So the point is that the break is so long, it's unprecedented, and it's going to give a huge break to LeBron, and it's a hugely bad break for his arch rival, the Clippers. What did the Clippers need to do? They needed reps. They needed to continue to play basketball.
But they couldn't because Paul George had hurt his hamstring. Kawhi's knees were creaking.
Okay. So remember, Kawhi and Paul George together had played only 32 of their 64 games.
Right.
They only played half the games together and they're brand new teammates.
Right.
I give you, LeBron and AD are brand new teammates. But they've played every game together, almost every game. They played all the way through.
Right.
LeBron's playing every game. He's trying to be Jordan-esque.
Yeah, he's trying to be nothing.
Well,
he just love the game.
Because this would be the second time in his career he's played every game. Okay, Jordan played. I forget what it was.
It don't matter.
It's whatever. The point is that the full Clippers roster had only played together 12 times, and they were 11-1 in those games. And I will give you this. The one game the full roster lost together was the last game to your Lakers.
Yeah, up.
Thanks to Avery Bradley. We're going to talk about him in a moment because he's doing things to get recognized off the court in ways I never saw coming from Avery Bradley.
Right.
Because the greatest game to me I can ever remember him playing was the third game this year, Lakers-Clippers. He made 6 threes. It was a little out of character for him because he made 4 just in the third quarter alone. When LeBron scored 0 points,
saving it.
And the Lakers seized the lead and held on to the lead through the fourth quarter.
We hold on. We never. Yeah. They didn't even get close. They didn't worry about it.
Really?
Yeah, we just kept looking.
Well, you had on Christmas Day a 7-point lead with 6.5 minutes
we
left,
about
and
that.
You spit the bit.
Yeah.
You just coughed it right up.
Like we said, we tried to learn how to play together. See, you guys can't stay together, play together, because you can't stay healthy. Paul George came in there with both shoulders worked on. Kawhi's playing every other week. So it's not our fault. And then plus, I know a guy that couldn't survive in the bubble because he'd had to take trips to the casino. Were they going to put a casino in the bubble?
We weren't talking about Michael Jordan.
Oh, now you don't want to talk about it.
They might put a casino in the
bubble. Uh-huh.
There just might be a little gaming action.
How you going to have a game of that? You can't get within 6 feet. You have one person.
You play slots or something. I don't know.
Slots, that's the worst thing you could have.
Okay, well, whatever. You could wipe it down and play it again, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the point is that it was the worst thing could happen. The Clippers, they got derailed. Just as they were starting to round into form to figure each other out, timeout, you got to take 5 months off. And now you got to, on the fly, sprint to the finish, try to figure out how to play with each other when the Lakers already did figure it out.
No, we didn't figure it out yet.
And again, I will give you this. It will benefit Kawhi's balky, arthritic knees to a certain extent, but he also might come back and they'll just bark right away.
No, they won't.
You know how that goes.
No, it'll be fine. He's been icing them. Yeah. Paul George, hamstring.
Yeah.
So, nah, they good. Mm-hmm. Nah. This hurt us. We were... But finding our groove on both ends of the court, go James and find like, hey, AD was doing what he was doing like I knew he would.
How big of an advantage? I'm putting you on the hot seat.
What?
How big of an advantage is it for a guy nearing the end of 17 years in this league, the guy who has played the third most minutes in NBA history,
right,
to get a 5-month break before the playoffs start? Let's just take 5 months off so I can get completely healthy for the playoffs.
If I took James off the back of his jersey and you didn't know who it was and you just watched him go up and down the court and you see him do the rockabye and you see him giving the folks every night 25, 10, and 8, if you saw that every night, would you think he was in year 17?
Well, I saw Patrick Beverly at 6'1", block his 3-point shot to try to tie the game on Christmas Day. Yeah, he kind of looked like an old guy.
So one game out of 65.
Well, that sticks in my memory. That's the flashpoint moment of the year for the LA Clippers.
That's the moment of the year for them.
Yep, it is.
We don't have no moment.
It was a statement moment.
And then what happened last
6-1
night?
6-1 block 6-9. And not only blocked it up into his hands, off his hands, Skip. Over his head, out of bounds, game over.
Skip.
Clippers ball.
Skip. You make it seem like the man was in a jump shot shooting motion. He was bringing the ball up to shoot a jump shot. And everybody knows with the time winding down, you're going to have to bring the ball to a shooting position.
Shrewd
Pat
operator.
Bev did a great job
he
of getting
did.
His hand in there and the ball went up. Okay, fine. But then we played him for the third time.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened?
Avery Bradley happened.
And every time Pat Bev got on LeBron, you see LeBron like, get up, make it. Mm. Get off me, Pat.
Okay.
Maybe. You're being annoying.
You could be right. But all I know is you've been telling me that for 5 months he's been posting, I'm working out, I'm doing the chords, right?
Yep.
Here we go, I'm doing the chords. Okay. But he's not taking any pounding on the basketball court. Nope. So he should be the prohibitive favorite to win this championship.
We are.
Okay, you said it, I'll take it. Prohibitive favorite Lakers.
We are the favorites.
You have no excuse.
Over. We don't make no excuses because everybody's going to be in the bubble. It's not like we're in the bubble and they're outside or they're inside and we're outside.
Yep.
Everybody is under the same umbrella. Mm-hmm. We just get the suites.
Okay.
We get the nicer rooms.
So Steve Kerr can say no asterisk. I'm saying gigantic asterisk because this has never happened in the history of professional basketball, a five-month hiatus before the playoffs start.
Let's get ready to happen. You make it seem like only the Lakers got time off. Everybody's got 5 months off.
Who has the oldest star in the league?
We got the best star in the league.
Okay,
we got the best player.
You got the biggest break and advantage.
Well, so what? Those championships should not count that Jordan got because he took a year and a half off. Asterisk. Nobody else got to take that time off.
Yeah, but he came back and played a full contiguous season.
He was rested for a year and a half.
What happened against Orlando when he came back for half a year? Wasn't even half a year, a third of a year. Nothing happened. Rust happened. He wasn't ready, and it cost him.
Okay, but everybody.
And then what happened? He got right.
Still,
he got ready.
Everybody.
And they played a full contiguous season, three in a row, and they won three more in a row.
Skip, you make it seem like that. What advantage does the Lakers have? They took off. They were running. They were finally starting like, okay, we got a nice little rotation. Everybody knows their role, understands their role. They were starting to do the things that we thought they were going to be. And that got upset. Your guys will get Paul George hamstring. He was in and out of the lineup. Kawhi, every other game, third game he was playing. So y'all get a break also. And Giannis, remember, Giannis had gotten hurt against the Lakers, and he had missed some games. So he gets healthy. Mm. So don't make it seem like LeBron James is the only one that caught a break when he didn't.
This season is all about Lakers, Clippers.
And Dame Lillard. Didn't he hurt his hamstring or something?
Yeah.
He caught a break.
Okay. Do you think he's going to win the championship?
Hey, wait, what I think.
No.
He caught a break. We're talking about guys that caught
Lakers,
a break.
Lakers caught the much bigger break. You know it, and I know it. The Clippers are going to be all-time rusty because they didn't have anything to even build on.
Yeah.
They're going to rust up nothingness. They just had 12 games as a full roster together. This will be like preseason for them.
And why is that? Because what? Paul George was hurt. Kawhi was load management.
Well, for whatever reason, they have not played much together at all, and it's going to be a huge handicap for them and a huge plus for your guys, which is why I'm a big Spurs fan, as you know. 1999 deserved a big asterisk because the season started late. It was contiguous. They played it straight through. They didn't stop it.
Okay, well, how about this here? Who has the best coach that's going to be in that bubble?
Best coach?
Yeah.
Well, you tell me it's Frankie V.
Nah.
That's what you told me yesterday.
Doc River going to be, he going to be diagramming to have them guys ready to play.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden.
Well, would you tell me Doc can't play?
Oh, now Doc can't play. Yep. But you talking about he can implement the plan that can stop LeBron James.
No, you told me yesterday Frankie V is a better coach than Doc.
I didn't say Frankie V.
You said he'll be better in the playoffs, right?
I said we got the better players.
Okay. You also said Frankie V is... superstar.
I like old Frankie V. Frankie V is calm. He's a voice of calm. That's what we need in a chaotic situation like this. We're in unfamiliar circumstances.
Yeah.
Baylor?
My only hope with the Clippers is that Frank Vogel is the head coach of the Lakers.
Yeah.
And Doc Rivers is the mastermind of the Clippers.
Oh, he's a mastermind now.
Yes, he is.
Mastermind.
He is the GOAT.
You know we ran him up out of Boston, right?
Yeah.
James did that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
he ran him
up out of Boston.
He did okay in Boston, Doc.
Ran him up out of there. Yeah. Broke it up.
Really?
Doc left. Paul Pierce left, KG left, Jason Terry left, all of them left.
Yeah, well, Doc's team ran LeBron up out of Cleveland the first time.
Ran him up out of there.
Remember when he quit?
Yeah, ran him up out of there.
Remember when his owner said he quit against Boston that last playoff series?
That's what he said.
Well, that's what he said.
My thing is, I never understood that. You say the man quit, but you got on your private jet, went down there and begged that man to come back in Fort Lauderdale. Why would you want to quit him back on your team?
I don't know. He's in the East. He's great.
He's the beast
of the East.
Y'all on a private and fly way across the under the radar. Say we fly so low, treetop.
Let bygones be bygones.
Oh, so we let
forgive and forget. Right?
Oh, now you'll let bygones be bygones. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what he said.
Oh, I'm so fascinated. Went out there like a thief in the night. Yeah. Come on,
just
LeBron.
Everyone in this bubble, just the drama. It's just fascinating. It is going to look different, Shan. I know you're happy about it. Jeez. I really enjoyed
it. Can I have my dogs in the bubble?
I'm glad I'm not in the bubble.
I don't know about that. That's a good question.
No. I got to have a dog. Him? If I can't have the dogs, I ain't going.
I didn't see dogs in the bubble.
If I can't have dogs, just I ain't going. Count your boy out. I'm out. If I can't take my boys, I'm out.
I think dogs are okay.
Okay.
I kind of miss seeing your dogs, guys. I liked work from home. I got to see Hazel. Got to see everyone in there. Tarzan. Okay, we're leaving the NBA for now. No mercy. For the second season in a row, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens were one and done in the playoffs last year. Lamar said he simply looked past the Titans and they caught his Ravens by surprise. Lamar ended up with 3 turnovers in that 28-12 loss. So, Shannon, your opinion, is this the right thing or the wrong thing for Lamar to say, to admit?
It's the wrong thing, Skip. You can think that, but you don't say it out loud. You just learn from it. And that's what happened. You know, Skip, Coach Harbaugh gave them the week 17 a lot of his starters off. The Titans basically had to go 4 weeks and they had to win every game in order to get into the playoffs. So you're playing a red-hot team that had something to play for, and they were treating every game as if it was a playoff game. So once they got there, they knew what was at stake in order for them to continue on. You had to know, Skip, they had done something very few teams have ever done. Mm-hmm. They beat the New England Patriots at home in a playoff game. They don't lose there very often. Only a handful of times have someone gone to Foxborough, beaten that team in their building in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And so for you to underestimate them, you do so at your own peril. And why would you ever think that? And that's the thing that I think people love so much about football, Skip. It is not a series. In a basketball or baseball game, you can lose game one. You still got game 2, 3, 4, and 5 if necessary.
Yep.
You in the playoff in football, lose a game, it's on the next year. The next day, you're cleaning out your bag. You got your locker. You got the hefty bags, and you're going home. You had a great season or a good season, and it's over. So you can never underestimate anybody in the game of football because it's only one game, and especially the playoffs, Skip. Why would you think that? If you underestimate no one, respect everyone, you'll always be ready to play. Mm. And I do believe they probably look past them like, oh, they can't beat us. But you don't look at a team's record and say, if they're there, they got there for a reason, Skip. And if you look at what the Titans had to do in order to get there, it lets you know they're a damn good football team. They were going to run the football. They weren't going to take many chances. They were not going to put the ball in Ryan Tannehill's hand in order for you to beat them. You better stop Derrick Henry. You couldn't stop Derrick Henry. And once you got behind, you let them play their game. They could just run Henry, and it's chewing up 5, 8, 7, 10 minutes on the clock.
Yep.
And it left you with minimal possession, Skip, and it forced Lamar Jackson to rush and to hurry himself and to play outside of himself. Yeah, he had a lot of yards, but Skip, the turnovers. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't find their rhythm. So, no, I don't believe he should have said this out loud. You know that what you did, but you learn from it, you move on. You don't say, well, we underestimated them. Why would you do that?
Yep. On this, I completely agree with you. This was absolutely the worst thing you could have said because you made an excuse that could come back to haunt you.
Right.
If you happen to run into this outfit again along the playoff trail or wherever, this is a Vrabel special. He'll use this on his bulletin board to say, oh, they just didn't take us seriously.
Correct.
No, that's not what happened. Lamar, you need to own this one. They kicked your butts.
They did.
And you were in a tough spot because you hadn't played football for 3 long weeks.
3 weeks.
And I'm not hindsight second guessing. I first guessed it that week ahead right here when we were talking about should John Harbaugh play or not play his starters. And I said, you have to play them some because it's too far to the finish line of your first playoff game.
Yes.
And instead, they played nobody. Mm-hmm. They still won the game against the Steelers at home. And yet, it didn't get them anywhere because it just got them really rusty. They were the rusty Ravens running into a buzzsaw at home on a Saturday night. And maybe they underestimated that, oh, well, Tennessee's on a short week because they had to play at New England.
Right.
And as you pointed out, they knocked off the Patriots at the Patriots. It's hard to do, but they were winning all the games they had to win, and then it goes from Sunday to only Saturday night. They have to travel again to your place, and here they came, and they punched you right in the mouth.
Yeah.
It's 7-0. Then it's 14-0. And then here comes the big fella downhill at you.
Yes.
The big fella, Derrick Henry, in his previous 7 games had averaged 154 a game.
Yeah.
It's a lot of yards.
Yes.
So
they went for 2-something against the Texans
yes,
last
he
game.
He did when they had to win that game, even though Deshaun did not play in that game, but he just ran over him by himself.
Deshaun was going to tackle him anyway.
That's true. So the point was, no, you didn't underestimate them, Lamar. You have to own the fact you underperformed. You were the MVP, and you had a classically bad night.
Right.
You threw 2 picks, 1 early. Mm-hmm. You lost a fumble. And don't forget that crucial 4th-and-1 at the Tennessee 18. They had cut the lead back to 14-6.
Right.
Mid-third quarter.
Right.
4th-and-1. Lamar gets that in his sleep, usually, and he got stuffed. Mm-hmm. Was it all his fault? No. But again, was he revved up and hitting on all cylinders? No, he was not that night. So he had a bad playoff game, just the way he had a bad playoff game to end his rookie year.
San Diego.
Right?
I mean, San Diego. LA Chargers.
Yeah. At home also. Yep. So he's played 2 playoff games in his life, and they weren't pretty.
Right.
So he's got that hanging over him. Do I think he's going to have a great playoff? Yeah, I do.
Right.
Because he's shown me in regular season he was just the runaway MVP is all he was.
Right.
But again, if you say we just underestimated them, you are disrespecting. You are demeaning. Right. You play bad. Yeah, come on. You got to own that man. And again, is his pride talking right now?
Yeah, of course.
Sure it is.
Yeah.
Because it hurt, man. It stung.
And Skip, I was right along with you because that happened to us. In 96, we had the division sold up. We had it sold up by Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And so we started, taking time off. And I remember Mike rested a lot of us the last game of the season. We were playing the Chargers when they were in San Diego. And so I didn't play. John didn't play. I don't think TD played. So here you are. You got 3 guys that's not going to play for 3 weeks. We played Jacksonville. And it's the exact same thing happened.
You can't get that out of
I can't get it out of my head because they and just like they did, Skip, they had to go on a streak, get into the playoffs. They went to Buffalo, beat Buffalo. So we knew but we didn't play well. Hey. And when you don't play well, boom. But I didn't say we didn't underestimate them. We didn't play well and you got beat.
I got to know Mark Brunell at ESPN, and I respected him hugely as a player. Mm-hmm. Wasn't the tallest quarterback, lefty. But when he got cooking, he could cook, man.
They had a good team. Ooh. I mean, they had Keenan McCardell, Jimmy Smith outside. Yeah. They had Natron Means running the football, Skip. They could run the – and, once they got the lead, they started running Natron, and we couldn't get the ball back. Mm. The same thing that happened to them.
That's true.
Got the lead, and Derrick Henry started running the ball, and they couldn't get the ball back.
I will bet you remember the score.
I think it was 28-27 because we tried to onside kick it.
Yep.
And we missed it. It might have been 30-28 or something 30-28. It was something like that. We tried an onside kick that was terrible.
And what were old Sharp's stats?
I didn't do too much.
You know why? Should we look this up?
You know why I didn't do too much, Skip? Because I dropped a 3rd down that would have kept the chain. Because I think we were up at the time. We were up 12-0.
You dropped a pass?
I dropped a pass. I dropped a 2-point conversion that would have put us up 14-0. I caught the touchdown, and then I dropped a 2-point conversion that was a little behind me, but I should have just opened my hips and caught the ball. And then the 3rd down, I had it, and John threw it, and then I bring it in, and my knee punched it out. And I was like, I just remember walking to Sunday, one of them effing days.
Yep. Was that your worst day ever?
Yeah. Yeah, because it was a playoff game. Playoff.
Well, you can't get those back.
No.
Right?
No, you don't. But you know what I did, Skip? Ended up running out 12 in a row in more playoff games. I still got the record.
Really?
And nobody won any consecutive playoff games.
I figured that was coming.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we let Lamar go here, we also have to comment quickly about a video that got posted on the beach. You take it away.
Skip.
Yeah, what did you see or not see in that?
Why? All you got to do is talk to Robert Edwards. He was playing beach football.
Flag football.
That the NFL set up.
At the Pro Bowl. Wasn't he a rookie?
He was a rookie.
Yeah.
And
he wrecked his knee in the sand?
In the sand.
And was never quite the same?
And Lamar ran over Sisu, or whatever they call it.
Jet ski.
Yeah. Skip, why you playing? Skip, you play professional football. Let guys that do not play professional football, let them play flag and sand football. You don't jeopardize that. Bro, you worth a couple of $100 million. Do you realize that, Lamar?
So in the video, he makes a nice move up and under. It's what he does. And then he starts running. And looking back. But it looks like he's running with a blindfold on. Like he doesn't even see the jet ski. And he runs right over the top. Looks like he's running out into the ocean.
Yes.
What are you doing? That's like more dangerous than like motorcycle riding or skydiving, right?
Man, you look, John Harbaugh probably like heart within his throat. Man, I would call Lamar just like, Skip, you remember after the Super Bowl, there was video surfaced of Pat Mahomes playing basketball.
Yeah.
Clark Hunt got on the phone.
Nope.
Just brush that down. If I'm John Harbaugh, if I'm Steve Bisciotti, who's the owner, I call Lamar and say, no, none of that.
No.
But you shouldn't, Skip, you walking around on a $150 million pair of legs. $150 million. Mm. All you got to do is just suit up, play, and next year they're going to redo the deal, give you $150, $180 million. And you jeopardize it doing that?
Hey, this pandemic makes people do crazy things. We've all been cooped up, and you get out on the beach, and you say, I'm just going to run wild out here on the beach, and you better be careful. You might just run your career right out of bounds.
I'm walking on the beach. Yep, that's all I'm going to do on the beach.
You got to walk on the beach.
Come on, Lamar. Be smarter than that, bro.
Lamar's having a rough week.
Yeah.
$150 million legs. Just thinking about that. Ooh. Stay away from all activities. Walk gingerly, carefully. Okay. No mercy. Positive COVID-19 test results have nearly tripled in the past 7 days after Florida's governor was quick to reopen the state and is now receiving criticism for it. NBA Players Association Executive Director Michelle Roberts acknowledged the issue and said it was concerning but not surprising based on how the governor handled the situation. So, Shannon, if you were an NBA player right now, how safe would you feel going to play in Orlando given what's happening?
But given that I'm going to be in the bubble and I'm not going to be really exposed to that, Skip, I feel a lot safer. Obviously, and Skip, what they're doing is that they're flying the guys in. They're not flying in on commercial flights. They're flying in on chartered flights.
Yep.
So they're trying to limit their exposure as much as possible, given the circumstances. Yes, they opened probably too soon. Mm-hmm. Yes, the social distancing wasn't in place as it should be.
Yep.
The masks were not worn. Mm-hmm. But people are not taking this serious, Skip. Mm-hmm. If they had taken this serious, we could have curtailed some of this in the very beginning. But now, because it's become so political, if you don't wear the mask, if you wear the mask, you're sheep, you just, it's a hoax and all that. If you don't wear the mask, you know, you're trying to infringe on my liberties. That's not why I'm not wearing the mask. So it's become so politicized, the masks have become politicized, Skip. So it's a weapon on one side or the other. And so I'm not surprised that the numbers are going in the direction that they're going.
Yep.
Because we were moving rather quickly. We had not seen anything. Skip, you talk about this season should have an asterisk. 2020 should have an asterisk because it's been terrible. We lost Kobe early on. We got COVID. We just got so much. We got the situation that we got going on with the racial divide and the injustices. Mm-hmm. So 2020 got an asterisk. I'm ready.
We have two pandemics.
Yes. Two of them. Mm-hmm. So I'm ready for 2021 to get here. But Skip, look, I don't really know what else they can do. Like I said, and I think that's why you'll be met with such punishment if you were to leave the compound, mm-hmm. is because of the epidemic that we're seeing. Mm-hmm. And it's so high in Orlando because, Skip, they went from capacity to say 10, 20% to 50%. And then once they started hitting the beaches, nobody was social distancing. No. Nobody was wearing masks. It was like, okay, I'm free. And when you've been, you know, in a situation where you can't go when you want to, how you want to, the first chance you get, you throw caution to the wind.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people did, not just in Florida, but in a lot of the states. They mm-hmm. threw caution to the wind, and here we go. And now we're starting to see an uptick, and they say by October 1st, we're going to have 200,000 deaths. Mm-hmm. And that's quite before flu season. So it could get worse before it get any better. But, Skip, I don't really know what they can do. Orlando is what it is. They're going to be in a bubble, try to be mm-hmm. secluded as much as possible.
Yep.
But that's the best they can possibly hope for.
So, first, allow me to say, the more I listen to Michelle Roberts,
the more you like her.
She is highly impressive. The players are very fortunate to have having her represent them.
She should be the NFLPA head.
Ooh, I hear you. She is piercingly insightful. Every word that comes out of her mouth, I'm like, wow, I didn't think of that.
Great lady.
So she's saying up front, no one is suggesting that this is going to be an infection-free, guaranteed environment.
Right.
Nobody's saying that. No. You cannot promise that.
No way.
No guarantees.
Nope.
So she says, I guess unless we go to, well, she says, where could we go on this planet where you could guarantee infection-free? She said, there's just no way of finding a sterile environment probably on this planet, but certainly not in this country right now.
Correct.
Boom. Correct. So then she took a shot at the state of Florida, and she is right on the money because she said, it's concerning what's happening in Orlando. Again, the rate has more than doubled in the last week in Orlando. It's concerning but not surprising, she said. I've watched this governor behave as if the virus is an inconvenience as opposed to a virus.
Right.
So I guess watching the way the state is adhering or not adhering to CDC guidelines, it's not surprising that these numbers would go up, to your point. Boom, they're going up. You're trying to establish a virus-free bubble, but it is so pervasive, it's hard to keep it out. So I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. I am maybe oversensitive to this cause because I live with a woman who is my wife, Ernestine. She has become insanely paranoid about COVID, but great paranoid, correctly paranoid, even though she wears me out with all of the guidelines I live under. She is on the money, just like Michelle Roberts. She's right. But it's gotten so bad, I told you, if I just so much as take Hazel for a quick walk around our gated community complex, when I come in, I must disrobe every bit of clothing. My shoes are off. Everything I wore outside in a gated community, it's off, and I have to hand carry it to the washer and drop it in the washer. Okay? Well, I'm knocking on wood here. So far, so good. We've managed, you know, to avoid. But it's still out there. It's spiking all across this country. And to your point, you can't suddenly just say, we're free.
Free at last.
Everything's open again. Let's go. And forget about the mask or the face covering or any sort of social distancing. So I do appreciate the links to which both the Players Association and the commissioner have gone to. They're even talking about everybody will wear a smart ring that will immediately tell you your temperature and immediately warn you of any breathing malfunctions that could indicate the early onset of COVID. So they allow you, it's optional, but you can wear an alarm where if you get within fewer than 6 feet of someone else wearing the alarm, both alarms will go off. Well, as strict as we are here at Fox, we don't have alarms, right?
Right, we don't.
But as I...
Don't be giving them no ideas either. Alarm be going...
You don't
want? No.
I kind of want an alarm. How about it? Because we live here at Fox in an antiseptic ghost town. There's just nobody here but us, right? Jenny's here, a couple other people. We have We used to have, four camera people? Now we have one.
One guy.
Right now we have nobody. It's just dead in here. It's just us. We're just talking. But you know what? I feel relatively safe here, but every morning when I leave, she kisses me goodbye. It's like, you better be careful. And she's dreading it because she thinks my exposure is much higher coming in here.
Of course.
Than obviously if I stay in our bubble, right?
Yeah, and that's it, Skip, and a lot of people, look, Florida was not the only state. And it, that, I think a lot had to do with it because the president was wanting the economy to get going, and it's hard, Skip, and he opened, but I just think they relaxed the guidelines. Okay, if you want to open, please ask people to wear a mask. Please ask the social distance. And it's not about, it's just the flu and people are going to die anyway. It's easy for you to say.
And you have to keep washing or Purell.
Yes.
And you cannot, if you go out and you're not social distancing, the worst thing you can do is touch your face. Because if you touch your face and somehow you got some COVID on your hands, you're done.
I mean, it went from 10 people to 50. You know, Florida went from allowing 10 people to get together to 50. Skip, 50 is a lot of people. And then bars went to 50% capacity. Well, if you can hold 200-300 people, and you go to 150 people, or you can hold 400, go to 200. Skip, that's a lot of people,
and,
man.
The video I've seen, nobody's really enforcing that.
No, and nobody's wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. You're like, Skip, I'm trying to get back in business, so I'm trying to get the money. People want to come in and eat, drink, and... You know, if they're willing to assume the risk, what am I to do, Skip?
So our gym that we both go to opens today, I believe. I don't think you're going to try it. I'm not going to try it for a while.
I'm good.
I have seen video of other gyms in L.A. that have opened in Southern California. They're just like, let it go. Right. Let's just do it, you know?
Skip, I saw this one gym. They got shower curtains, and they got 9 stalls with shower curtains around them. And you work out in your little individual bubble. They come in, wipe it down, and then the next group comes in and do their thing. No, but I'm turning my garage into a gym.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, at our gym that we go to different branches of the gym.
Right.
But now you have to have a reservation because they're going to limit the number of people going in. So, again, to the point of the bubble, I don't know how it could be much safer, but Michelle Roberts is the first to say no one is suggesting this is going to be infection-free, so they are prepared to have some positives.
Well, I'm selling gym memberships to my gym.
Are you?
Yep.
Well, I think it's a solo act gym, right? You're the only one who has a membership gym.
Yeah, I do, but for you, it costs you about $500 a month.
$500 a month?
Yep. Valet parking.
Really?
Yep, pull right
in your driveway. Yeah.
You can pull right on up to the gym.
Yeah.
Get out, and just start working out.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't heft up that kind of iron you push up.
I got dumbbells. I got from 20 all the way to 120s.
Yep.
Yep, I got kettlebells.
You just bought these?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, from Rogue.
Wow. You're becoming a recluse.
Yeah.
Right?
I am. No mercy.
The NBA released a statement saying, quote, a central goal of our season restart will be to utilize the NBA's platform to bring attention and sustained action to issues of social injustice. Lakers guard Avery Bradley responded to that by telling reporters, quote, regardless of how much media coverage will be received, talking and raising awareness about social injustice isn't enough. Protesting during an anthem and wearing a T-shirt, it's great. But we need to see real actions being put into the work. So, Shannon, who is making the better points?
You know, I think both guys make compelling points, but what Avery Bradley and some of these other guys need to understand, you're talking about a system that's been in place for 400 years. Skip, do you understand how long it takes bills to become law? They don't happen overnight. Mm. They don't. And I think these guys want immediate gratification for something that's not going to happen. Sure. And you want sponsors and you want the NBA to invest in these communities. And I absolutely agree with you. But invest in what? Well, you want them to buy more computers? You want them to invest in what do you want them to do? What's the organization that you want them to invest in? What do you want them to do with that money? Okay, they say they do that. Then what? That's why. And that's the thing. Okay, you tell them what you want them to do, but you do understand these things take time.
Yep.
You're dealing with a system. You're dealing with institutions that have been in place. The NBA has been playing basketball for 70 years. The system that you're trying to dismantle and topple has been in place for 401 years. It's not going to happen overnight. Mm-hmm. Sure, you can add pressure and say, okay, guys, we've seen you've been promising, and the promises have been falling by the wayside. So I need to see actions. Okay, I get that. And you can hold their feet to the fire. But I agree with Adam Silver. The attention that the NBA can bring, the heightened attention, because we're craving live sports, Skip. People are going to watch. Mm-hmm. And so I agree with Avery Bradley. I think that the hiring practices, I think front office, I think coaches, I think there are a lot of things they can do with the NBA. The NBA and asking their sponsors to invest in the black communities, I get all of that. But I believe you can do two things and still go play this game. And it's still bringing attention, just like you're bringing attention now with your boys. Don't shortchange yourself. You're having more of an impact than you actually think.
Yep.
And athletes have always been at the forefront of movement, Skip. You look at Muhammad Ali in the 60s. You look at the Summit with Bill Russell when they were with Muhammad Ali, Jackie Robinson. So, Skip, athletes have normally been at the forefront of movements when it came to race issues in America.
True.
Because they watch them.
Yep.
And people listen to what they have to say. You might not like it, but people will listen to what an athlete have to say. So I believe Avery Bradley makes compelling points, and I believe Adam Silver is absolutely right. This is an opportunity for them to draw even more attention. And it's also for the players to say, look, NBA sponsors, ask your sponsors. We need you to invest. You see, the NFL gave $250 million. Brand Jordan is going to give $100 million.
I think over 10 years.
Adidas is going to give $100 million.
Yep.
So, Skip, there are things that people are starting to do, but you can ask for more. But I believe in the process. It's going to take time, but you continue to persevere, move on, and still these changes will come about. Mm.
Well, I'd like to know where that money is going, how it's earmarked.
Yeah, exactly.
And I would like to know the outcome of how much impact did every dollar exactly have.
Yes.
On all the issues we've been talking about.
Correct.
No idea.
None.
What happened to the $89 million pledged in 2017 by the NFL to social justice causes?
I don't think all of it's been spent, but we'll see. We'll see. Skip, I think the thing is, over the next, 5 to 10 years, we'll see the impact that this money going into these communities, we'll see the kind of impact that it's had.
So, Shannon Sharpe always reminds me, two things can be true. Two sides can make good points.
Yes.
They can both be right. Mm-hmm. But I'm still saying Avery Bradley's side is righter. And I hate to say it because I got a head versus heart conflict, but I'm right where I was 24 hours ago. My head is with Commissioner Silver, and I do agree with his points about it's our responsibility to this country to play basketball. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. We want to show everybody that we did not let the virus win. We triumphed over the virus. So I'm all that does my heart good a little bit, but I'm thinking with my head because obviously right here, right now, our very livelihood is depending on this league playing and especially the National Football League playing.
Right.
God bless them both. I hope they can figure out how to do it even without fans.
Right.
But my heart, the deepest part of my heart, continues to be with this new coalition because all the points are very valid. And I find it highly ironic that after we all agreed, and you've said for many years, LeBron James is the number one activist in all of sports. He has the most powerful voice, the most insightful voice when it comes to racial injustice in this country. He's been magnificent in stepping out on all of his platforms to say, no, 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 enough, enough, enough. And all of a sudden, his quietest teammate, a guy I didn't really give a second thought to, Avery Bradley, I always knew him as a lockdown, tough-minded defender who could shoot the three pretty well, a starter for the Lakers, but sort of the quietest, least thought about of the starters, right? All of a sudden, his voice is becoming more powerful than LeBron's at this moment because LeBron's been all about we're going to play.
Right.
So all of a sudden, LeBron can't really say much more than I'm all in to play.
Right.
So he's going to have to wait until the platform returns. As Commissioner says, we are dedicating this platform to speaking out on all the racial issues this country is facing. And LeBron will seize the day. We're still waiting for something from him. But you brought up the point. I thought it was a good one yesterday. He already spoke.
Right.
He said, I'm in.
Right.
Right?
Right.
There's nothing he can do. So it felt like yesterday he was being attacked a little bit by Kyrie, like being backed into a corner. Hey, over here, I'm leading the coalition. We had 100 players on a conference call on Friday night.
Right.
And they're all doubtful about should we play or should we not. Well, now the sort of the brains of the operation, the strongest voice is now belonging to Avery Bradley, a teammate of LeBron's.
Right.
And he did make the point again yesterday, the actual act of sitting out, not playing in Orlando, doesn't directly fight systemic racism. Okay, I got it. But it does highlight the reality that without black athletes, the NBA would not be what it is today.
Right.
Yes.
Neither
correct.
Would the NFL.
Nothing would be.
Right.
You've made that point dozens of times. He's just, I'm not saying he's threatening. He's just spitting out a fact.
Right.
That, hey, there's a point to be made here. If we all decide let's not go to Orlando and we withhold something that is dear to all of our hearts, which is watching these gifted players play this game we all love, it would be a resounding statement that would continue to focus our attention on racial injustice.
Right.
Would it become negative? Would we sort of hold it against the players? Would it, would it sort of turn on them, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe. But I get his point.
Right.
I get his thrust. And again, we got Kyrie talking about, let's take our ball and go home. Let's start another league. I just don't know how realistic that
it's
is.
Not.
Let's start our own league.
Skip, there have been three leagues that tried to go up against the NFL, and all of them have ended up in bankruptcy court.
Including the Lakers.
The USFL, the XFL, and now this, the world, whatever this was, Skip. Mm-hmm. It's not happening.
Well, and the XFL returned.
Right, and belly up again.
Yeah, belly up.
You have to understand, they have such a long... Tiger Woods even thought about it for just a second, like, I can't do it.
They did. The best of the golfers thought, should we make our own circuit and over here?
It's not happening. So, but for me, Skip, you got to be careful because I believe you're fighting for the same things and you're starting to splinter. And they're starting to look like, look, they're fighting amongst themselves. They don't even really know how to go about this. So why wouldn't we just sit back here, let them figure it out, and then when they come up with a plan.
You have always warned about this.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And that's what we're seeing. I hate this. I believe that we're getting too many guys, and everybody, what we got to do, we got to do this, and we got to do this, and we got to do this. What are the most important things that you would want to have happen immediately?
Okay.
What you want to get started on? This police brutality, injustices that we see. Okay, Skip, I get the hiring practices, and I want that too. I want everybody to get a fair opportunity. But Skip, I believe this injustice issue should be at the forefront.
Okay.
I'm not saying these other things shouldn't be on the stove, but I believe the front burner should be that.
Okay, so we have seen Minneapolis, California cities say no more chokeholds.
Right.
So that was a start,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, that's the kind of reform
right.
you want to see.
But they said that, but they just said, then the president comes out like, unless you're, but Skip, every time they use deadly force, they say, I felt my life was threatened.
Mm.
So then the ban is nothing. So everybody, every time, named an officer that said, I just shot just for fun. They're always going to say my life felt threatened. That's why he did it. The guy that had his knee in his back is going to say, well, I felt threatened, even though the guy was handcuffed. With Eric Garner, when they choked him out, I felt threatened. When Walter Scott was running, he felt threatened. So it's nothing.
Rayshon Brooks running?
Yeah, he running.
With a taser?
He running away. Skip, it's the same thing, Skip. If somebody breaks into my house, I have the right to use deadly force to protect person and property.
Okay.
Once he leaves my premises, the threat is diffused. I can't run outside and shoot him in the back.
Okay. Got it? You cannot.
No.
You can't cross that threshold.
No.
Nope, you cannot. So I did like it that Avery Bradley at least had some specifics that he wants addressed within the NBA.
Right.
More black vendors.
Right.
Do more business with more black companies.
Yes.
Okay, love that.
Yeah.
And love this even more. More black representation in management decision-making positions.
Okay.
Because there are only four black GMs with decision-making, with the buck stops here kind
right.
of power.
Right.
Obviously, it stops upstairs with the owner. But
right.
as far as hiring, firing,
right.
there are only four. Well, wait a second. There are only two in the NFL, but it's not like the NBA is running away with equality, right?
Exactly.
I don't see equality there. So he's saying, time out. We need to start here and address
right.
it within our ranks.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I love that.
Right.
So now we have.
But see, Skip, that's something that we can see over, say, in the next. If you say, okay, over the next five years, we need 20% of the vendors in these arenas mm-hmm. to be black owned. Over the next 5 years, we need to see, you know, somewhere between 5 and 8 general managers or something like that. Skip, that's mm-hmm. but that's an easy fix. I think the more harder fixes, mm-hmm. the racial and the thing that's got the, because Skip, what has splintered this country is not the hiring and firing practices of blacks in sports. It's the divide with race in America and the injustice that people are seeing on the television in America.
Yep.
So I think that's the most important issue. That's the issue that's at hand now. And I believe that we should address now.
Okay. I am completely with you. So do you take any offense at Commissioner Silver saying, we need to play basketball because that's what we do.
That is what they do, but okay? People don't really care about that. Not really.
Forgive me for this, but it rings sort of faintly, eerily reminiscent of we dance for the white people, you know, that kind of idea.
But Skip,
I don't love that.
Skip, he's like,
right?
we're a business.
Yep.
We entertain. And if we're not entertained, we're not making money. Because, I mean, Skip, at the end of the day, that's what businesses do.
Yep.
And that's why, you know, everybody want to get back. Skip, I mean, I got, you know, I sell things. If I'm closed down, I'm not selling anything. So I get it. But Skip, Commissioner Silver has been great for causes. He's allowed these guys to have voices. He hasn't tried to shutter anyone out. It's in their collective bargain agreement, Skip, that everybody must stand for the national anthem.
It's right there in black and white,
yes.
right?
So I got no problem with that. He's like, well, you know, we can't protest during the anthem. But whatever else we need and however else we can help you.
Should that be renegotiated right here on the fly before we get to Orlando?
No, I don't think the guys, I mean, this could, but I don't think, you know, If they don't start playing, the CBA might get torn up regardless.
Okay.
And then what they thought they were going to be getting in 2021 and 20 and beyond, that might take a substantial hit.
So if some of the players in Orlando feel compelled to kneel and they kneel, what's going to happen?
Nothing.
No retribution there? No.
I guess they could. I guess they could be fine. I don't think they will do that, Skip.
I don't either.
I think because Commissioner Silver has given them a voice and he's allowed them to have platform. I mean, Skip, with the T-shirts that I can't breathe, can you imagine? I mean, NFL fine guys if you don't wear team stuff. So I can't just imagine them. I'm sure those guys, when they, I think Hawkins from Cleveland wore a shirt.
Yep.
That had Tamir Rice and had some of the players. He probably got fired for that. The NFL don't like you to wear anything but team-affiliated stuff. Mm-hmm. Adam Silver, like, I can't breathe. And think about Skip. The WNBA, all of them had that. All of them got hoodies now.
Yep.
So he's been very, of all these commissioners, I think he's done the best with his players and allowing them to have voices and talk about issues that's concerning to them and their communities.
Mm. So they have a week now, the players do, to declare themselves in or out in Orlando.
Right.
What's your gut feeling on what percent of players will be all in one more week?
I'm going to say 85 to 90.
Just my gut and maybe my head speaking more than my heart, I think it'll be 90-plus in the end with voices heard and a lot of things on the table that we are going to continue to speak out when we get to Orlando.
And you know, Skip, you and I were just checking, and it said of 500 workers that were tested at Orlando Airport, 260 tested positive for COVID. So they said now all the players are flying in charter. They're flying all the players in charter, but you can fly to different airport and come to the bubble. You don't have to fly there because 260 out of 500, Skip, that's over 50%. So they got their work.
Scary.
The hardest thing, Skip, is getting the guys. Once you get there, I believe you'll be safe. Mm-hmm. But getting there and coming, having to come in contact with people. So I think that's why they're going to do it. Get you there. You'll be quarantined for 14 days, and then we'll start, you know, we'll do what we need to do. But both guys make very compelling points. I just don't want this thing to start getting splintered and this guy come up with an idea and that guy has an idea and then all of a sudden we got 55 ideas and nobody's ideas get heard.
Yeah, good point. No mercy.